The people of God, Israel, the Israelites, are caught between a rock and a hard place. On one side, they have the Red Sea before them, a vast body of water. They're camped there on the shore. And right behind them on the other side is the Egyptian army, running in chariots, pulled by horses, arrows, spears, the whole thing. The Israelites are thousands of weak and tired slaves, the old, the young, the tired, the weak, the sick. They're not an army. It's a rock and a hard place. How did they get here? Well, their time in Egypt started out pretty well. They were actually there as favored guests of the king of Egypt, who invited them to come down during a time of famine because he looked upon Joseph with favor, and Joseph was in charge of much of Egypt at that time. And so the Israelites were living in Egypt, and they were doing really well. But then Pharaoh, the king, died. And a new king came up in his place, and he looked about him, and he saw these Israelite people, and what he saw was not favored guests, but a potential workforce. And so he drew them into slavery. And for about 400 years, the people of God dwelled in Egypt as slaves, making bricks day in and day out. And for 400 years, they cried out to the Lord for rescue, for salvation, to come and deliver them from their slavery in Egypt. And when the Lord heard and saw their cries, he sent to them the man named Moses. And Moses went to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and cried out, "Let my people go." To which Pharaoh responded, "No, I'm not letting my slaves go." So then to this, the Lord brought what you might call very heavy persuasion to the king of Egypt. Persuasion in the form of 10 plagues, 10 wonders. You should know about this. You learned about this from Charlton Heston, right? The 10 plagues of Egypt. The Lord turned the Nile River into blood. He brought flies. He brought frogs and gnats and locusts. He brought hail and boils on the skins of the people, darkness, all sorts of plagues and terrors to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. But over and over again, Pharaoh said no. So then the Lord brought through Moses the 10th plague. Throughout the entire land, the firstborn son in every household would be struck down dead. But to the people of God, to the Israelites, God gave a way out. He gave a promise. He gave them basically a ritual to do so that if they did this thing, the angel of death that God would send would pass over their houses. They were to take a lamb to slaughter and cook it a certain way, to have certain breads, some certain spices with their meal, and even to dress a certain way. And with the blood of the lamb, they were to take it and paint it over the doorpost so that when the angel of death came on that one fateful night, the angel would see their house and know that this is a house of the people of God, and he would pass over it. The Israelites faithfully listened to and obeyed God's word and God's promise and went through this ritual, and not a single Israelite son was killed that night. But it was not so for the Egyptians. Throughout Egypt, the houses of the Egyptians were filled with terror and sorrow and mourning as their sons died. And this final plague was enough to convince Pharaoh to let the people of God go. And so the Israelites then, they leave, they start exodusing out of Egypt, and God takes them not the usual way that you would leave Egypt. They go through the wilderness, and they find themselves camped at the Red Sea. But little do they know that Pharaoh, as he sees them go, as he sees his cheap, easy slave workforce leave, he relents upon his decision of seeing them go. He calls forth his army, his chariots, and they chase after the Israelites. And so then we have our Israelites, the people of God, on the shore with the ultimate would you rather question before them. These people who so faithfully observed Passover and witnessed the Lord's work through the plagues now can only see two options before them. Death by the Egyptians or death by drowning. Death and life as a slave in Egypt or death in the wilderness, in the desert. And by the way, they answer to Moses, they would rather choose slavery in Egypt than dying in the wilderness. For them, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire. Their eyes of faith, which had seen so much, are now clouded up by fear and doubt and despair. How quick we are to despair. How quick we can be to come to a point where we see no way out, where all we can see is the Red Sea before us and the Egyptian army behind us. How quick we are to develop tunnel vision, where all we can see is pain. All we feel is doubt, and all we experience is despair and sorrow. Our sin often brings this upon us. The mistakes we make, the regrets we have in our lives, the choices we commit bring us often to this place where we cannot see a way out, and we're led into despair. And then, as though to compile upon that, our own sin then of unbelief, our doubt and our fear, our lack of faith in the Lord, our lack of trust in God will hold us there, entrench us in fear, in doubt, and in despair. This is what the Israelites feel at this time as they camp out on the shore. I can almost guarantee that not a single one of them had in their mind the possibility that the sea would split before them. I'm not even sure Moses knew that part of God's plan. But despite their fear, despite their inability to see past the disaster, to see a third way out, a third option, Moses gives them the Lord's promise. God has things under control. We see this in verses 13 and 14. Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Be brave, and you will see the Lord save you today. These Egyptians will never bother you again. The Lord will fight for you. You won't have to do a thing." There is a third option. You know, God purposely brought them to this shore, purposely let the Egyptians come and chase them, purposely brought them to this point of despair, frankly, so that he could, first of all, show his glory to Egypt and show them who truly is in charge. But also so that he could reveal to Israel, to his people, I am the God who saves. I am the God who delivers. I am the one who meets you in your despair and brings you out. And so in faith, the people walk through the waters on dry land on their way to the promised land, and the Lord delivers them. You might find yourself at a point in despair. You might find yourself at a point where there looks like there's no good options. A place of sorrow. But the Lord has given you a third option. And I know when we're in our despair, it might sound cliche, it might sound trite, it might sound even just too simple. But the third option is simply this: to trust in Jesus. As we learned in an adult Bible study this morning, Jesus is the name that saves. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are to trust in the one who fought for us against sin and death. To trust in the one and have faith in the one who brought us safely through the waters of baptism into his marvelous promised land of life. The Lord fights for you. And when it comes to our salvation, to knowing where our forgiveness comes from, to knowing where our life comes from, you don't have to do a thing. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, so often in life we find ourselves in despair, clouded over, blinded by our fears and our doubts. Give us eyes, O Lord, to see you. Turn our eyes truly upon Jesus, the one who saves, the one who fights for us, the one who delivers us. Help us, O Lord, in our unbelief and our lack of faith to trust always in you. We pray this in your name. Amen.